Can we turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, please? We're turning back to chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, and we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. Proverbs, chapter 1, and reading from verse 1. Book of Proverbs, chapter 1, and reading from verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To answer a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil. And make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lines. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we turn to thee in our Saviour's precious name. We thank thee for thy mercy to our hearts. And our God, we pray that even the instruction that we gain from thy precious word today might be a light to our path, that we might follow in the ways of God today, and that we might seek from the wisdom of heaven. Bless us now, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. An educational psychologist was on a flight to Florida. He was sitting preparing notes for an educational education seminar that he was going to do, and there was an elderly woman sitting next to him, and she began to speak to him, and she was saying she had just come from Boston, where she had spent 2 weeks visiting her 6 children and her 18 grandchildren and her 10 great-grandchildren. And she asked then, she said to the man, what do you do for a living? And he told her that he was an educational psychologist. And he was expecting the woman to get some free advice from him, get some counsel from him. But the woman just sat back on the seat and folded her arms, and she picked up the magazine. She said, "Well, if there's anything you want to know, just ask me. You know, there are many people, and they think that they know all about rearing children. But it's often the ones that are not doing it at the time. And to know that wisdom is not always easy. And quite frankly, there are many people who make a mess of it. But we don't have to look very far to get God's wisdom on the subject. You know, we live in a day in which there's so much sadness. You know, in the Daily Telegraph last week, there was a poll, and it says that among 35 countries, the United Kingdom had the third largest number of 15 to 16-year-olds with an alcoholic problem. Professor Martin Plant, of the University of the West of England, said, and I quote, "The UK retains its unenviable position in relation to both binge drinking, intoxication, alcohol-related problems among teenagers. One in seven of our children is said to have taken drugs, that's between the age of 10 and 15. One in seven of 10 to 15-year-olds has taken drugs. Also, the United Kingdom is at the top of the league, or the bottom of the league, we might say, as far as teenage pregnancies is concerned. So we have great big problems. But thank God, God has given us wisdom. And I want us to look at this portion of Proverbs, because in this portion of Proverbs, there are four different types of child that we can rear, or four different types of people that we can be. If you look at verse 5, it speaks about the wise man. We can raise a wise child. Or if you go down to verse 22, it speaks about three other types that we can raise. There is the simple, there is the scorner, and there is the fool. And I want us to look at this portion of Scripture, because there is one built upon the other here. The simple can turn into the scorner, and the scorner can turn into the fool. And if we raise a fool, then the Bible does not give much hope for a fool. We have to make sure that in all our work and in all our instruction and all that we say, that we do not raise fools in our families. And so I want us to look at this portion of Scripture. Now, the fool could be a prize-winning scholar. The fool could be the top of the class. The simple could be somebody that's very good at exams. But as far as God's word is concerned, they're a fool, or they are simple. And so we need to look at what God has to say about these different categories of people. And I want us to make sure that we raise those that are wise, and that we ourselves are wise as we walk with God day by day. So let's look at the different categories of people that are described here in verse 5 and in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 1. And first of all, I want us to look at the simple. Look at what it says in verse 22. He says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" And the first thing I want to do is look at the definition of simple. Because as we said, in the Bible terms, is maybe not what we think of. We think of a simple person as somebody that doesn't have much wisdom as far as this world is concerned. But the person might have much worldly wisdom and be simple as far as the Scriptures are concerned. The simple individual is a naive individual. And I want us to see that the first characteristic as far as the Bible is concerned of the simple is ignorance. Ignorance of God's word. Ignorance of the principles that God has laid down in his precious word. That leads to simplicity. And the simple is really somebody that's naive, who has not bothered to look into the word of God, is not bothered by God's instruction or God's commandments, and never takes them into account. Turn over to Psalm 19 and verse 7, and you read something about the simple. Psalm 19 In verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So it is God's word that makes wise the simple. Now there's an implication in that, and the implication then is that those who are simple have not had God's word applied to their hearts. In other words, they've ignored God's word. They've not taken God's word into account. In Psalm 119 and verse 130, it says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." But we live in a day in which so many have no thought of God's word, who are treating God's word as if it was nothing, ignoring God's precious word. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 32, it says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." What do the simple turn away from? They turn away from the exhortations and warnings of God's precious word. Look at verse 29. "For they that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." And that's why, men and women, it's so important to emphasize God's word to our children. That's why it is good to have our children stay close to God, to have our children taught in the things of God. I hope that we open the scriptures with them. I hope that we teach the scriptures to them. We see it as an important thing. They're bringing in the things of God, that they learn God's word, that they learn portions out of God's word, that we take that word and we teach them the gospel story and the stories that are from God's word, and we send them along to meetings and to Sunday school where they are taught in the things of God. Because a simple person is a person that has not had God's word applied to their hearts. At least they ignore it. At least they have no time from it. And many people are like that today. We have many people that are simple. But not only do we see here the first characteristic here, which is ignorance of God's word, but there's a second characteristic, and that's immaturity. The simple is open. The word simple there in the verse, in the Hebrew, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" is a word that just means open. They are open to the wiles of the devil. They are open to what everybody says to them, or what everybody might come along and try to influence them. The simple is open. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 13, or verse 15, and it gives a further description of the simple. It says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." So not only does the simple, not only does he ignore God's word, but he believes what he's told. Now that is so true of many teenagers. They are open to peer pressure. They're open to what their friends tell them. They're open to the influence of the fashions and fads of the day. The advertising industry loves the teenager, loves the simple, because they're like sitting ducks for them, and they don't check what they're being told. They have not the experience, they don't have the understanding to be able to check things out, so they believe what they're told. Somebody tells them, "Oh, no harm having a little bit of fun in the lottery." Many one like that has been led down to poverty. No harm having a little drink. But it is that first drink that has led to alcoholism. "Oh, you don't need to worry about drugs here. They'll do you no harm." And how many have been led down to drug addiction because they have believed what they have been told. Now, there are many people today, and maybe not just to that degree and extent, but they believe the world's propaganda. They believe what the newspaper and the media industry is telling us. Of course, the newspaper industry and the media, it has been influenced also by others. And there is that influence that is coming down upon us. And the simple believes it. The simple believes it. It says here, the simple believeth every word without checking it out. Now what we need to do is check out what we hear. You check out what the preacher says. You check out what the world tells you. You check out what they are trying to foist upon you. You check it out. And make sure that you're not going away that somebody else is leading you, rather than what God has dictated and told us in his precious word. So we notice here the description or the definition of the simple. He is ignorant. He's ignorant of God's word. And he's immature. He's led along. But then notice also that the delight of the simple. The verse says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? So you notice that it speaks of the simple one loving simplicity. He's ignorant. He's not only ignorant and immature, but he loves it. He's happy-go-lucky. He doesn't want any restrictions put on him. He just loves life the way he is. He loves his cozy little world. He's not bothered about worries and all the rest of it. And he's not worried about anything around him. As a teenager one time, and he was looking very worried, and his friend said to him, what are you worried about? He says, my dad, he works night and day to make sure that I have everything that I want. He's working all hours to pay for my education, to get me through school. He is doing all he can. And my mother, he says, she washes up after me, and she looks after me, and she does the washing, and she irons, she cleans up after me. His friend says to him, well, what are you worried about? He says, I'm afraid they might escape. And you know, there are so many teenagers like that. They've got it all. Sorted out. But you know, life is not like that. Sometimes they have to be taught differently. And we notice the delight of the simple. He loves simplicity. He loves to walk in a life without worries. But also I want you to see the danger of the simple. Because Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man hides himself for the dangers. A prudent man sees the dangers coming, but the simple sees nothing. He just goes on his merry way and he just never thinks. I saw some teenagers going across the playing fields behind us just last week with a blue bag. And obviously it seemed as if in the blue bag they had drink. And they're going down to drink whatever was in that blue bag. And it looked pretty full. It could have been drugs or something else. I don't know what was in the blue bag. But it's more than likely it was some of those things. Now those teenagers never consider what they're doing to themselves. If they were drinking all, there was just two fellas there. There might have been more of them somewhere else. But if they were drinking all that was in that blue bag, what damage they were doing. What damage they were doing. I've been at funerals of young people, leaving young families, liver damage done to themselves through alcohol. Oh, they don't see the danger. So if we have simple, well, the young teenager go out in the car and barrel around the town at 80 miles an hour because they think they're invincible. But you know, we all did the same thing. We were all teenagers. But we need to make sure that we teach them and instruct them. And we need to make sure that we don't have that simplicity. Maybe there's somebody here tonight or today and you are like the simple. You have that simplicity about you. You just go on and never care about what's coming tomorrow or what eternity may bring. You're just like the simple. But then let's pass on. Let's see the second category. And we said that there is a build-up here. The simple can turn into the scorner. Now look at what the text says. And the scorners delight in their scorning. Now the scorner is the scoffer. He's the smart aleck. He's the type who thinks he knows better than everybody else. He's the kind, there's a progression in the verse, as we said. If you don't deal with the simple, they will turn into the scorner, into the smart aleck. Now, I want you to see what we learn about the scorner here in the book of Proverbs in this Bible. We learned that the scorner is conceited. He's proud. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 21 and look at verse 24. And says, proud and haughty, scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. So there's a couple of things there about the scorner. The scorner is proud. Proud. He knows better than anybody else. He's the type of young person or older person that when the preacher is preaching will nudge and smile, and there'll be a smile crossing his face or her face when the preacher is preaching, and he thinks it's cool not to listen. He thinks that it is a fuddy-duddy stick-in-the-mud thing to think about God's precious word. There is this attitude, I know better. I know better. Now, of course, that's not confined to young people. That's not confined to young people. There are school teachers who make light of God's word. There are school teachers who think are so proud that they think they know better than what God says in his word. And there is that conceit, that pride that enters in. Maybe you passed on from being simple that it means nothing to being proud. I know better. Not only is the scorner conceited, but he's contentious. You notice what the verse said, who dealeth in proud wrath. He contends. He's contentious about his thoughts. He is so sure of his thoughts that he's not just content to keep it to himself. He wants to try and get others enticed into what he is doing. He will argue. He will fight for his cause. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 10 says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Because the scorner will cause contention. Now, that casting out the scorner is the last resort. But sometimes in the Sunday school, sometimes in the children's meeting, you have to cast out the scorner. If you have friends of your children and they are scorners, then you need to cast them out. You need to get rid of them. You need to get rid of them. But it's not easy. Because once somebody turns into a scorner, there is that wrath and that anger. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. See, when you reprove a scorner, they will sit and look daggers at you. They will maybe not say anything, but there'll be a rage that's building up. They will be shifting about. There'll be a scowl on the face. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. He will not love you. He will hate you. He will hate you. So men and women, it's a very dangerous thing when you have a scorner. If you have a scorner, or if you are a scorner, then all we need to do is pray for you. We need to pray with all our hearts. And if there's a scorner, then we need to make sure that we get ourselves right and that we pray with all our hearts that God will turn away that scorning. Because sometimes we need to get ourselves right, first of all. And you need to look at yourself, first of all, but we need to pray that God will turn the scorner. So there is the simple, and there's the scorner. And then there is the stubborn fool. It says in the verse 22, and fools hate knowledge. Now, we said there's a progression. The simple will become a scorner. And if there's nothing done, the scorner will become a fool. And we said there's very little hope for a fool in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 21 says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. If your child turns into a fool, there's going to be deep trouble. There's little hope for a fool. In verse 22 it says, fools hate knowledge. Now you notice that the others speak of loving simplicity and delighting in scorning. Now, they loved something, but they love the wrong things. But the fool hates. He hates the truth. He despises the truth. He's turned his back upon the truth. Now, that's why there's little hope for a fool. A fool will not listen. He hates knowledge. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool will not listen. The fool will not listen at all. He despises that which is right. He has no thought for that which is right. I'm afraid that we have many fools running around, running our country. You have the sodomite lobby. You have the feminist lobby. You have the left-wing lobby that's seeking to bring in anarchy in all sorts of ways. And that is what has the ear of government today. And that is the agenda that has been put upon us because they hate knowledge. Remember what is said in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is the atheist. Atheism is a faith position. It's a position that has to explain all the complexity of the world around it, but it's a faith position. They've come to the faith position that there's no God. And it's the fool that has said that. The fool will not listen. The fool also will not learn. Proverbs 15 verse 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he regardeth reproof. He that regardeth reproof is prudent. And that's the reason why it brings such sorrow in the home. A fool will not learn. Proverbs 23 and 9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. You're almost casting pearls before swine when you try to deal with a fool. It says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him. It comes to the point where folly is joy to the fool. He delights in that way. Proverbs 10 and verse 23 says, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. He loves the ways of sin. He delights in the ways of sin. A fool will not listen. A fool will not learn. And there's something else about a fool. A fool will make light of sin. Proverbs 14 and verse 9 says, fools make a mock of sin. Now we all come across that sort of thing where people laugh at sin. Laugh at the things of God. But the Bible says that the Lord will have the last laugh. It says here in verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. God will have the last laugh. But men, women, a fool is somebody that has hardened his heart. A fool is somebody that despises God and hates his word. And why, it's an awful thing if any of us were ever to come to the point where we have in our family a fool, or we are a fool ourselves. That's why we need to be saved now. That's why you need to get right with God now, because there is that hardening of the heart. The book of Proverbs says, he that been often reproved hardeneth his heart, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Don't harden your heart. Don't turn into a fool in the sight of a holy God. So we have the simple, with the scorner, with the stubborn fool. But one more that we notice, and that's in verse 5, and this is what we're going to call the sensible or the wise. Look at what it says in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. This is the wise man, he hears. Can I tell you, teach your child to hear, teach your child to listen. Do it as soon as you can. It's a great thing for bringing the children along to church. I know that sometimes when they're younger they can make a bit of a noise. And they can do things, and maybe when they get too rowdy, they have to be taken out. But nevertheless, it's a wonderful thing to bring your child into the meeting, even though they squirm, even though maybe they can't understand for a little while. It's a great thing to teach them to sit and to listen to God's precious word. I think we underestimate our children today. In our modern education system, They're not taught as much to learn things off. In days gone by, from their earliest years, children were brought along to sermons and questioned afterwards about what they had heard. Questioned afterwards about what they'd heard. And came to a great deep understanding of God's precious word. There's no better lesson than to hear God's word. Psalm 19 and verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So if you want to deal with that simplicity in the heart of your child, teach them God's word. Let them hear God's word. Not only will they hear God's word, but they will heed it. Proverbs 5 and verse 1 says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding." To attend means to do the bidding of. You know, it's like the servant attending, waiting for the instruction of the master to do the bidding. That's what we do if we're wise. We do his bidding. We do his bidding. Where is wisdom found? It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is wisdom ultimately residing? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 1 verse 30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Get your child, get yourself to the foot of the cross. Come to the place where you find the one who is the ultimate wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you wise today? Are you sensible? Have you understood your latter end? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 29 says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." So many today are caught up with the things of this world and they don't consider. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. But if you're wise, you follow him with all of your heart. So are you sensible? Or are you simple? Or are you a scorner? Or are you a stubborn fool? It's come to the point where you've said no to God, and no to his salvation, and no forever. That's a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Is that what you're saying in your heart today? Oh, come to the Lord Jesus and find his wisdom and his righteousness and his sanctification and his salvation. May God write his word upon our hearts.